At last, the tag belts have finally been renewed and restored, and we can finally call them gold once again. But more importantly, forget about Tama Tonga. Perk Gable is on the loose. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Dangerous Drivers Podcast.
People have been asking me to be the best in the world. Why, Eddie, why?
I'm better than you.
My eyes are red from in the back smoking a joint with the game.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's your
Go
boy
ahead.
Stevie Jobber.
This is your boy Dangerous Duke.
And welcome back to the Dangerous Jobbers podcast, putting wrestling over one podcast at a time.
You just had to say it, didn't you?
I had to say it. We're going to be saying it throughout the whole thing. So I just want to get it out the way now. Along with getting it out the way now, wrestler of the pod, as we do every pod. And welcome to those who are just listening for the first time. This is a segment where we highlight indie wrestlers. The wrestler of the pod this week is the returning TNA legend, Mike Santana, one half of LAX, one half of the Proud and Powerful, the current House of Glory world champion, and of course, again, returning to TNA and TNA Rebellion. Shout out to Mike Santana. We'll put the claps in for him. Also, we're just gonna do WWE this pod. We realize we're recording this as AEW Dynasty is happening. If it's fire, you'll probably hear us talk about it later in the week, but this is just WWE, so just to get it out the way. Duke, quick thoughts. Sheamus returns on Monday Night Raw. Quick feelings on Sheamus. Oh, with the theme song.
Yeah. I like, you know, obviously Sheamus returning, always a good thing. Always nice to see him in the ring doing what he does. Looked a little pudgier than usual, and he was quick to address that. He said, this is what happens when you're called back early. So, I mean, understandable. Doesn't look like Sheamus normally looks, but I have no complaints, man. I like seeing Sheamus back. He's still got a couple more years left in him, I think. And then given with the draft coming up, could be a number of places he could go and potentially make some waves. He could stay on SmackDown. He could go to Raw. Maybe he could go to NXT and go help them. I doubt that's the case. But, hey, still, any place he goes to, he's going to be an impactful member any which way you slice it.
Totally agree. Quick thoughts on AJ versus Cody, Bullet Club versus Bullet Club for the first time ever.
Surprised they pulled the trigger so quick. Not in a bad way. Cody's first championship reign, my opinion. You got to give him somebody that's going to put on a quality match with him. And, you know, Seth aside, who's the next person you have on your roster that can make any match a five-star caliber match? AJ Styles is that guy. So, new character change, new theme song. Got him in kind of a little evil trance, if you will. So, if the pairing as well, I didn't think they were going to jump to AJ so quick. But it's interesting. It's kind of interesting to see this dynamic with AJ, because with him just losing at Mania and then getting the world title shot right out the gate, kind of makes you wonder where the person who he fought against is going. Like, where's LA Knight go from here? So a little worrisome on that regard. But again, France, Backlash, AJ, Cody, you know the match isn't going to suck. You know it's going to be good. So you can't complain there.
Yeah, hopefully they can find a great build in the short amount of time that they got. That's all that I wish. I just hope for a good build, because you don't have a lot of time. And if hopefully this could be a trilogy down the line, I would love for that. I don't know how much longer AJ's going to continue to be at the top of the card, but I feel like if he's not at the top of the card, it really is almost a detriment to feature him in anything lesser at this point. So
yeah,
you just kind of worry where the, like you said, you just kind of worry where things are going to go. The new tag titles. We now have, once again, the World Tag Team Champions and the WWE Tag Team Champions. And quick thoughts, which one do you think looks better? Are we just happy in general?
So
I think we have our preferences, kind of.
I was going to say, yeah, the WWE Tag Team Championships, they're the ones that are SmackDown, correct?
Yes.
And I was going to say, and then the World Tag. So it's back to Ruthless Aggression style, WWE Tag Titles, SmackDown, World Tag Titles, Raw. I like that they finally changed them. I mean, don't get me wrong. It was their, the Fruit Roll-Up titles weren't the worst looking titles that they've had. But, you know, the Fruit Roll-Up titles were a lot better than just the copper ones that they had. I kind of like them. Like
pennies.
Yeah, I mean, and this is weird coming from me because you know how I am when new titles are debuted. It takes me like months before I say I like them. The ones on SmackDown, I kind of like them. I feel like they kind of wanted to go retro with it to Ruthless Aggression, Attitude Era kind of feel. Like back when, you know, the Dudley Boys and the Hardys were fighting for them. The World Tag titles, I feel like they just tried to make them look like the World Heavyweight title. They look very much like the World Heavyweight title that Damian Priest is currently holding.
Okay.
I'm thinking that's the theme for Raw. That might be just the theme for Monday Night Raw. That's what all their titles look like because the women's title looks the same as that. And
like heavily embedded and everything.
Yeah, yeah. I do, I will say I like the SmackDown ones a little bit more than the Raw ones. But that's just my opinion. What do you, where are you at on them?
No, I can be honest. I like the SmackDown ones a hell of a lot better than I like the Raw ones. Not to say that they're bad. I like the design. It's very classical. It's very old-fashioned. But classy, which is what the old titles were missing. They just didn't look classy. They didn't look like real. They looked like they should have been in the tag team championships. They didn't look respectable.
Yeah. I
can say that. And I hate to take this time to spread negativity, but on the, but that's the truth of it. It just didn't look real. It didn't look like, it didn't look respectable, but those look very classy, very classic, very respectable. They're not quite as what's the word I'm looking for? They're not quite as appealing to the eye as the SmackDown ones are, but they're far better than what we had.
That I can say. And I think what kind of turns me off on the World Tag Team titles, the new ones, maybe it's the lettering, like on the world title, like on the actual center of the world title. Maybe it's the lettering because we're not used to seeing lettering that big. So maybe that's what's kind of turned it off for me, because the SmackDown ones look fine. Like they look decent. And I think it's just the design of the Raw ones with the lettering. It doesn't fit right.
I think you could be right, because it threw me off. It not that it wasn't, like, again, it was classier.
Because none of the other ones. The
lettering
ones,
does kind of, it is kind of, it's weird. It's the way they did the lettering this time was a little, it was a little wonky looking.
And none of the other ones have lettering. Like the WWE World title, it just has the logo in the center. The women's, just the logo in the center. The tag titles have the logo in the center, but then you also have the lettering around the logo, and it just kind of looks off.
I think you're right. I think that's the first thing I noticed. Like, everything else looked great, but I think the letters were the first thing I noticed, where it was like, I almost can't even
tell what's behind it. Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know. It's an upgrade, and we have to find that.
Yeah.
That silver lining. tell me what the silver lining is in this. Even though some people saw it coming, Rhea Ripley ended up vacating her championship due to a long-standing injury that's going to have her out for what I would believe is at least 6 months.
Yes.
Leaving the women's title to be decided. Is it at Backlash or is it next week? Am I
tripping? I don't think they've announced how it's going to be decided yet.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And before we even dive into this and discuss our thoughts on it, I do have to address an elephant in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Because I take these kind of things personally. I don't know about any other wrestling fans, but you have your wrestling fans that lean one way and kind of like bash people. I'm more of the wrestling fan that leans this way and will defend the person. So I'm sure a lot of people have seen, there's been somebody out there on streaming platforms, TikToks, whatever you do to watch wrestling. He saw that Rhea had to vacate the title and felt the need to wish ill will to Liv Morgan for injuring Rhea Ripley. Now, this ain't ballet. This is professional wrestling. People get hurt all the time. You know, it's not anything intentional or, you know, there's no harm towards it. Like, there's not intentional. But people still tend to forget that this isn't real. Like, it's real to us, damn it. But it's, these performers are people just like us. So to wish someone to have a torn ACL or get paralyzed because, you know, they hurt our favorite wrestler, it's 2024. We all grown. We don't need to be wishing people to get paralyzed or tear an ACL or get injured in any type of capacity because they injure our favorite wrestler. They know what they sign up for when they get in the ring and do this day in and day out. We don't need to bash them. And if you're one of the wrestling fans who sit there and bash them, I'm sorry, but suck it up, Buttercup. Shit happens. Grow up. Like, we don't need to be wishing people to get paralyzed. What kind of, that makes you no better than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you sit across the screen like us and bash somebody for getting hurt, you look stupid, my dude. That's my rant on it. That's what I had to say on it. And if you're one of those people who wish for someone to get paralyzed because they injure your favorite wrestler, you need a reality check just in the worst way.
Yeah, we really gotta get better at checking some of these. And I feel like it may be newer fans, but I wouldn't lie to you and say that the fans we had before the influx of all these newer fans were the best either. At just taking ridiculous left turns as far as reactions go and just being uncalled for over the internet, man. And
like, I'm like, if you want to
get better,
like, if you want to chant to somebody, you know, go fuck yourself or this, that, and the other, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. But when you got to sit there and actually say, I hope you tear an ACL or I hope you get paralyzed, like, you actually wishing harm on these people. When you a fan, you can say some of the stuff you want to say, but when you out there wishing harm on somebody, that's completely unnecessary and unethical, in my opinion.
Mm. And
I feel like that was the nicest way I could put it, though. Was that PG enough?
I feel like that was great. I feel like that was okay. I feel like that was very politically correct. I mean, there was an F-bomb in there, but still.
Hey, you got to throw at least one in.
You know. You got it across in a very
respectable manner. Yeah, room temperature. That is the perfect way to put it. It was room temperature.
You read the room. Somebody that is definitely wishing ill will upon others has got to be Solo Sikoa's MFT. which I had to spend some time online decoding what that meant and why we could not say it.
Because we used our one F-bomb. Because we used our one F-bomb.
It is very funny for those who look it up and figure out what it means. It's a very it's an Oos term that's a little different. It's a little to the left. I like it. I don't think they can put it on a t-shirt, but I like it.
You can put just MFT on a t-shirt. Well, you can
put just MFT on there. But regardless, the new MFT, Tama Tonga, Son of Haku, the new Headhunter, the MFT of the Bloodline, went out on SmackDown this week and hunted down Kevin Owens. And it's compelling television to see Paul in the role that he's in, to see Solo. Now I'm watching every week to see Solo almost overnight take the reins from Roman. Wow, I did not intend to say it that way. But take the reins from Roman and pick up the Bloodline in what some people described as that DX turn where Triple H took over after Shawn left, of this new kind of even edgier run for the Bloodline with Tama Tonga. I cannot wait. Hopefully, I know we keep jumping the gun, but Triple H nowadays is known to just give us what we want. So if we keep saying it, maybe it'll keep happening. I just cannot wait for the addition of what Fatu would bring to how dangerous they're already making Tama look. To have taken out Jimmy and Kevin Owens back to back, just doing whatever they want. And I mean, Nick Aldis left Paul Heyman a very, you know, coded message at the end of SmackDown. But forget that. The Bloodline does what they want, clearly. I mean, you've seen Tama Tonga. So just your thoughts on how strongly they're pushing Tama so early and where are you at? What's your intrigue level of the Bloodline saga in this new Solo Sikoa era?
Well, to start it off, like you said, the intrigue with Tama Tonga, you got to remember, man, this dude has been lighting New Japan up for 14 years. Mm-hmm. So he's not a spring chicken, but he's also not an old rooster either. Like, this dog still got some bite in him. He can still go. And seeing the things that he's done in this short amount of time, it's actually I wouldn't expect anything less. Throw him in the fire right away and just let him cook. And that's what he's doing. It's not saying very many words, man of few words, man of action. He's been doing nothing but action since he showed up. And from reading, what everybody's writing on him in the articles and whatnot, the top brass and backstage seem to love what he's doing in just his short amount of time. He's taken to this WWE system like a sponge. He's just soaking everything up. And you expect nothing less from somebody from that family. You know, like you said, the son of Haku, cousins with this person and that person. Like, he knows what he's doing. He's been around for a minute. And to pair it with the KO thing, what a perfect person for him to just tangle with in his first run. You know, you get somebody who can go in there and be just as crazy with you, if not crazier, when the time calls for it. And then the cherry on top, you're the new addition to the hottest thing that's been going on in WWE for the last few years. And it's kind of like you just revitalized the dish a little bit. Like, you already had a perfect steak, potatoes, vegetables, whatever you want to put on your five-star meal. And it's like you just sprinkled a little bit of garnish on top. Tamatonga's your garnish right now. Just elevated it just a little bit.
There's rumors that Roman is still helping with the story, a vital part of the story behind the scenes. Would you believe that?
Oh, absolutely. You would need to. Because when it comes to the tribal chief, no one's done it besides Roman. So if Solo is that next guy, if you will, you would need somebody like a Roman to show Solo how to do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean, that's what I think. I think they're moving so good of a pace that if I was the backstage, I definitely believe that I would have been over the moon at the first reaction, going over the way that it went, because it's almost like again, because they're as big as Marvel, it was a moment where if you didn't know who he was, then it was shocking, right? It was just shocking. Because you were like, who is this guy? Oh my gosh, he's an animal. This like mercenary that came out of nowhere. But if you were, say, a comic book fan, which I guess would be the level we're at, you read all the signs, seeing this part coming in the story, and you were just excited to see that you predicted it.
Mm-hmm.
But it put Tom on a different level. And I think that just that whole cinematic aspect of it is probably why the pop was so good.
Yeah.
And hopefully, if I was Triple H, I almost would be expecting it to be that good. But I mean, at this point, they're taking it out of here. They're taking it out of here. And like, I'm with you. I should expect nothing less, because he's been doing it so long. The people that he's in the same circles as have been in the company for so long.
And it's
perfect.
If you're Triple H and company, you almost have to expect that it's going to be good right away because of how long you've been pursuing this man. They've been pursuing him for years, and he's been, you know, I don't want to say he's been brushing them off, but he's just been like, not yet. I'm not done here. I still got stuff I got to do, but I'll keep you guys in my back pocket in case that time comes. And they never took any offense to it. They understood, oh, you have things you have to finish here. We understand. We'll be in touch to make sure you're ready when this year's up or whatever. Mm-hmm. So they always had that beneficial, you know, understanding.
I mean, that, what a power in relationships. What a power in family.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. It seems almost crazy now that we didn't already have the Samoans as the greatest wrestling family in the world in like 2010. You know what I mean? Like, the fact that we're kind of just arriving there in the past maybe 5 years.
Absolutely.
It's amazing. It's amazing the things they're able to do. But to move on from that, we got to finish on the most dangerous man in wrestling today.
Chad. More than Tama?
I mean, did you see what he did to him? Do you see what this man has been saying on social media?
I see it. I hear it.
I mean, I don't know about you, but I haven't seen a man so angry with so many suplexes and such devastating ankle cranking in a singlet since, well, you know, the word on the street is the spirit of Perk Angle has possessed young Chad, morphing him, evolving him in Pokemon terms into Perk Gable. And it, at his very, very deepest breaking point against Sami Zayn, an unsuspecting Sami Zayn, he unleashed that dormant ghost lying within him. And he suplexed the hell out of Sami Zayn in front of his wife, holding his wife. And then proceeded to give him that ankle lock while cranking his whole leg over the top turnbuckle with officials all around him. And I think the worst part about it is that he then proceeded to go on social media and keep doubling down and raining down on all the people that were booing him, insisting that if you just see it his way, he had it coming. I mean, the true definition of insanity, intensity, integrity, and intelligence. The four I's.
You know what? I will take this and I will raise you. He said Sami Zayn had this coming. He said a lot of things, but the main thing was Sami had this coming. He deserved what he got. And I will raise you by saying, you're damn right he did. You are damn right Sami Zayn deserved everything he got coming to him from Chad Gable, because he wouldn't be in this spot that he's in without, one, Chad Gable, who gave him the tools to defeat the 666-day reign of terror from Gunther. Who provided him with that spark? Chad Gable. And then he just kind of like brushes it off like it was nothing. Like, I had it in here all along. You just needed to wake me up. No, you didn't. Chad Gable gave you everything. Which this kind of, now that I'm saying it, leads me to we might need to do a topic on this, how everybody seems to hand Sami Zayn everything he ever gets.
Is Sami Zayn the conspiracy theory after all these years, huh?
He might be. He gets welcomed into the bloodline. He gets everything under the sun. Kevin Owens got him tag team titles.
Maybe he is still bloodline.
But no, I'm loving it. I love everything that Perk Gable is doing right now. And it's still early, it's still fresh. I can't wait to see what else happens between, like, you know, the Alpha Academy going forward. What's going to be next for Otis and Tozawa? You know, what's going to be next for Maxine, the Creed brothers, Ivy Nile, everybody who's affiliated with Chad? It's an interesting time for young Chad Gable, and it's an interesting time to be in that IC title picture for sure, because Lord, we know some intensity's on the way.
And I'll end it by saying this, and then I'll toss it back to you for the closeout. Chad's right. If you really think about the story, we have been building for so long on the back of Chad losing in front of his family and Chad being the best guy they built up to beat Gunther. And all of the framework going into WrestleMania was Chad versus Gunther, until the Sami Zayn arc that fell into Rocky happened. But mind you, before they turned him into Rocky with Chad Gable, Sammy's whole arc was, I have nothing to do with WrestleMania. Imagine building your whole arc and then a guy that had nothing to do just beat you for your spot. And then because you're a good guy, you turned around and gave him the tools to beat the guy you were aiming at. And he does it on the grandest stage. Lives your dream and you think in return, I'm going to beat him and then I'll be champ, and you can't beat the guy, you would lose your mind. And it would be all of his fault. Like, why did you even do that? Why did you, you should have never beat me. At the end of the day, imagine losing to the guy that it fell in the lap of when you knew deep down in your heart, you wanted it more. You needed it more.
Mm-hmm.
And he did nothing to earn it except listen to you. I'd be pissed. And I hope he carries all of that energy in the Monday. All of that energy.
Mm-hmm. And going forward.
I want all of the smoke. Absolutely. And going forward.
Don't just take it to Monday. Take it to France. Take it to SummerSlam. Take it to Mania. Take it to wherever you got to take it.
Yo, get your belt, son.
Mm-hmm. Go get yours.
But yeah, dude, with that being said, man, that's all the topics. If you guys also saw Dynasty, leave us comments if you want us to talk about Dynasty. Tell us or what you thought your best part was. What did you think the best part of the week is? What did you think the best part of the pod was? And subscribe. We're on our way to 400, bro.
Yeah, on our way to 400. You already know how we do. Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't seen us, you know who we are. We the Dangerous Jobbers Podcast. Make sure you go to every single one of these things right below on Stevie Jobber's side and my side. Make sure you link in with us. Stay up to date on everything that we put out there because we got some heat coming that you don't want to miss. But that's it for this week. Make sure you guys stay up. Make sure you guys stay blessed. But as always, stay dangerous.
People have been asking me to be the best in the world. Why? Eddie, why?